Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber.
Well, hello. I'm Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, the executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX, the eighth wonder of the world, and also the parliamentarian. But today, I have a feeling I won't need to use my parliamentary powers because sitting in with me is the mystical, magical Michael.
Hello.
Yo. How are you?
I'm good.
You've been off for a few days.
So I have.
What have you been doing? Missing us other than that?
I mean, that was the main thing.
Primary thing.
That was, I mean, every day I was like, when's the next Culture Club HTX? I need to know what's happening with Siobhana and Lisa, you know? Yeah, it's been busy. The last Memorial Day weekend was busy for me. I was telling you before we started recording that I every year I've been involved with Comic Palooza, which is the big like nerd convention, if you will, here in Houston at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
This is how big deal it is on the signs. I just got back in town, I guess, what was it, Friday night? Mm-hmm. And on the signs on the highway, there are parking instructions. That's how you know it's a big event when they're like, if you're going to the NRG for Comic Palooza, this is what you need to do. I'm like, prime time. So what did you do there?
My involvement with Comic Palooza started with the podcast partnership program.
Yes.
Because I host a podcast as well, Comic Cast, with Zhong Li.
With Zhong Li, who is hilarious, by the way.
He's great. And we started that back in 2017. We applied for the program in 2019.
Okay.
Got in, and then we've been in ever since. So this was our seventh time doing it. Yeah, I know. Crazy. And part of it, sometimes you get to be involved in other stuff. So this one specifically, I got to moderate a panel on Friday. I got to partake in a panel on Saturday. And then we did our show live from the show floor on Sunday. And then I was a part of another panel at 2 that afternoon.
So here's the big question. I mean, do you get to sign autographs or no? I mean, your panel's on the show before. I'm like, do you have a poster?
I see,
this is something you would do magical and then you wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm like, so do you sign autographs?
No, I don't sign autographs. I take pictures if anybody wants to, but.
That's cool.
But like, I didn't have anybody asking for pictures. But
he's modest. Magical's famous folks.
But my big thing was just making connections with all these creatives and engaging with folks. There's a comic creator that I met, David Crownson, who actually has one of his books being adapted into a movie coming up, which was cool to make that connection. There's our author, Rose Garcia here. She's an author to like 20 books.
Comic books.
Not comic books specifically. This one is literature. So she's had a whole series of like fantasy, science fiction novels, and she's really good. I'm actually going to be with her again at an event in June for a book festival that I'll be taking part of as well.
Where is that?
It's at the Post Houston.
So it's like, where is magical? We need to put together a summer schedule. Where is magical? Well, that sounds super cool. Okay, so what was your most favorite thing about Comic Palooza? Like, of all the things you participated in and or saw, what was the most exciting or just sort of interesting thing?
I would say number one would be our podcast. You're doing it, it live.
I mean,
because it's always fun. Because I don't see Zhong a lot, so it's nice to actually have him there.
Yes,
not. As well as Shalice Williams of
Real
Movie Junkie.
Was there. Awesome.
She was part of our panel, and Brian Wanawanto of the BriFi podcast. They were part of our panel as well. So that was fun. I always love doing the podcast live and engaging with folks in that way and just making those human connections. You know, it's fun to interact with them and talk live with them. It's
so
one thing to do
one.
It, you know, recording, but it's a nice thing to do it live.
And what's number two? Your own podcast again?
No. Well, I will say the cool thing that I posted about yesterday was the fact that I mentioned it. 2019 is when I first got involved with Comic Palooza. there's a person there that has been with Comicpalooza for a long time. He comes every year, named Ming Chen. Mm-hmm. He's been on like AMC and other stuff. He was on the show Comic Book Men with Kevin Smith and all this stuff. And I'll never forget, he gave me advice because I was moderating my first panel that year. Mm-hmm. And I was so nervous and anxious. And he had the panel right before mine. Mm-hmm. And I asked him like, hey, do you have any tips for me? And he gave me some tips and really helped me out. And oh, so good. It relaxed me a lot. It helped me for that first
some
panel.
Deep breathing, magical.
So then fast forward to this year, I got to be alongside him on a panel. So to go from being this little noob person, you know, newbie, to now sitting alongside him at a podcasting panel was really cool. Like, wow, what a journey Comicast has taken me on.
So let me translate. Basically, he's primetime now.
I'm trying.
He's trying. Like Comicpalooza OG. You whip. I mean, that's basically what you said. You won't say it because you're too modest, but I'll say it. That's so cool.
Thank you.
All right, cool. So since Coach Nelson isn't here, we're going to do her corner, and we're going to start with the Houston Comets. So back a few weeks ago, it was announced that the Comets would officially return. WNBA is back in Houston, 2027. The Connecticut Sun is going to be our team. So are we going to be the Houston Sun?
No, they're going to adopt the Comets.
We're going to be Comets again.
Yeah, we're going to be Comets again.
So it's happening, and so some of the key details. So the team is going to – they're going to practice at the Toyota Center, but then are they – and they're going to actually – end up playing there too, right? So that'll be their home stadium as well. That's pretty cool. So Brittany Griner's already signed. That was the former Baylor star, Houston native. And then also Juju Watkins, also big deal. Mm-hmm. Madison Booker and Audie Crooks. So this we have like a pretty...
It's a good squad.
We're going to have a good squad. Mm-hmm. So I wonder when would their season start? I guess their season's in the summer. So it'll be like basically this time next year.
Around May, yeah. Around May of next year. So that's something to look forward
to. Well, but here's the question though. So if the Rockets, let's be optimistic, go to the playoffs and the Comet season starts, so then, I mean, that'll be kind of neat. Right?
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be really
I'm
cool.
I'm not sure. I mean, how the Rockets, I don't know.
we'll see what changes they make this offseason. But no, it's so cool to have the Comets back, especially because of, you know, they're the original dynasty of the WNBA. Four straight championships, legend, Cheryl Swoops, Cynthia Cooper, all those.
Tina Thompson.
You know, Tina Thompson. It's just... That's an incredible part of the WNBA history, and to have lost it for so long sucked, but now to have it back.
I didn't even realize we were the only team to have ever, I mean, we still hold that record in a WNBA.
Four straight,
for four consecutive championships. That's pretty awesome. All right, so this time next year, we will be watching some WNBA, which
will
be super exciting. So now let's talk a little bit about our Rockets. So a couple things happened. So number one, just breaking news right before we started recording today, they've been teasing their new uniforms. So have you seen any of the...
I've seen a couple of the teases. Like I saw the one with a comedian and TV star Mo Amir. I saw him kind of teasing about it. And
did he have on the uniform?
No, it's because they're doing that whole like come visit Rudy T's sort of thing.
Oh,
and so he had on like the as if he's at a burger restaurant or something like that. So they've been it's interesting. I'm curious what they're going to unveil.
Well, I just remember. Well, hopefully it's something that's really neat because I remember when the Texans did their. I mean, we're like, OK, people,
I mean,
you went
really
all
didn't.
This hype and this is what you came up with.
It's not really that much.
So this will be interesting. All right. So new uniform for the Rockets for sure. And then let's also talk about what else is happening with the Rockets.
Well, I mean, the big thing is figuring out the roster for this for the summer, figuring out if they want to just run it back for next season.
Look at you, basketball talk, run it back. You know, what does that mean, Magical? Help
me. Basically, like, if you want to just keep things as is, and you do have some decisions to make with the roster with some of the folks like Tari Eason. They have to figure things out, but... Do they believe in this roster? Do they believe that they just needed more time to gel? Like, is Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams, the folks that were injured, do they think that, if they were healthy, then things would have been different?
But don't we always say that?
A lot of times we do.
I mean, it's like always the same old story. And, if they were healthy. Well, yeah.
And then I don't know how much of it was, you know, verified or is it just internet rumor, but at times the team didn't seem to gel with each other. And so is that also
culture
another factor?
Issues.
Yeah, is that another factor that you need to look at and figure out?
I think so. Okay, so we shall see. So one, they'll have new uniforms, and maybe you know what? Sometimes getting dressed up changes your attitude.
Yeah.
So even if they did have culture issues, maybe like a new uniform, a refresh will change your attitude.
Once you dress fresh. That's harder to say than I thought. You do have a new mindset.
So fresh and so clean.
So fresh and so clean.
Would say
that. Guess what's gonna outro this segment?
Okay, but before we do, one more thing. Two more things. Travis Kelce, he owns a sports team now. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. I saw that.
So he is now the minority owner of the Cleveland Guardians, which makes him one of the latest in the growing wave of active NFL stars to turn the money that they win. Because when you win championships, apparently you get a little bonus into ownership stakes, which I actually think is a good idea. Like that makes me happy. I mean, he could have bought a plane.
Yeah.
But he bought a team.
He's actually investing and investing back into his hometown. So that's
he's
that.
He's from Ohio.
Yeah, he's from Ohio.
Makes so much more sense.
Because he was at the, it was sad, but he was at the Knicks-Cavaliers game when the Cavaliers got smashed by the Knicks.
Okay, so that's one more thing we have to talk about. So the playoff series. Okay, so number one, the Spurs. Are you going for the Spurs? Magical, no pressure. Magical. Don't disappoint me.
I'm going for the Spurs.
I just like, what's his name?
Victor Wembanyama.
What is it? How do you say it?
Wembanyama.
Yeah. Wamba
for
short.
Wemby.
There you go. You know why I like him. He's giant.
7'4",
and he's thin, but he's strong. Like, he's a really good player. He's not afraid.
No.
You know what I mean? Sometimes in the past, we've seen these really tall players that are not as aggressive. Mm-hmm. But he can play.
He will take you to the basket. He will step back for a three.
Yes.
He's insanely talented.
He
one of the most
so
talented.
He's so good. And I feel like he's the type, he's French. I feel like he's the type that will stay with the team. And so I just remember the Spurs in the dynasty. It's one of my favorite teams. And I'm thinking, this is the new generation. I feel like they have a really good team. They're young.
They're young. Stephen Castle, De'Aaron Fox. They have a really good squad. And Victor Wembanyama, he's only in his third year.
I know. He's
and
young.
He's already second in the MVP voting. Like, he's going, and he's going to be like a defensive player, MVP, like all the things. Because he does so much on the court that people are just not ready for.
I know. So are you going for OKC then? Is this why you were like hesitant?
I picked OKC.
Really?
Because I still think I like their roster and how they go against the Spurs.
Are you bandwagoning?
No. I've been watching the Thunder. Even though I think the Knicks, they're on a heater right now. So
yeah, we'll see. All right. Mm-hmm. So baseball boyfriend Scott, who's also not here, actually sent over a little story about the Astros. Now, just warning, it's been brutal. Like, what's highlighted in this story is let me just read this, and this is our final story. It says, it's June. One third of the baseball season is in the books. The Astros have lost more games than they've won.
Yeah.
But somehow, the season has started to feel a little different. April was, and this is all caps, folks, brutal. Not only were the Astros playing badly, their best players were going to the injured list at an unprecedented clip. The only bright spot was Jordan Alvarez was the American League's player of the month. That's not that big of a deal. Baseball woman, Scott. Whatever. That's right. The best player in the AL. All that means is everybody else sucked a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that good. So let's bottom line this because we are running out of time. So first of all, what do you have to say about that?
I mean, the bright spot is they just had a combined no-hitter.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's June, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So as May comes to the close, the Astros started getting some of their good players back from the injured list. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Pena, Jake Myers, Troy Trammell all contribute to this end-of-the-month surge, which I think we're in right now. So, at full strength, we believe, baseball boyfriend Scott, this is his report, that the Astros are a good team. But are they playoff caliber? I know the answer to that. No. He says, we'll see. I say, no way, Jose. That's what I say.
They're going to hover around just because the division's not as good as the other divisions.
That's the thing. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I hate to kind of bring it back to it. It's like, well, if your division kind of sucks and it doesn't, like, just say it's nothing. Anyway, baseball boyfriend Scott's final words are, they're a team that should be competitive in a weak AL West if, and this is all caps, they stay healthy. Will they? Stand by or stay tuned.
Stand by.
All right. Well, with that, we'll take a break.
Bye.
That's
my Lisa.
You had to do it. All right.
Ain't nobody don't ask me. I'm just so free. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
And we're back.
Hello.
Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX, and usually the parliamentarian and always eighth wonder of the world, but mm-hmm. because Magical is here,
yes.
this is easy breezy cottage cheesy.
See, I don't jump in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to.
I ain't trying to cause any problems.
I don't have to police anything. Oh. So we're in our business segment, mm-hmm. so you're taking care of business.
Do you have a business voice? I'm so taking care of business.
I think that's a business voice. All right, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
So a few really interesting business stories. So the first one is the chamber. So I grew up with the idea of if you have a business, whether it's a small business, a large business, the chamber of commerce mm-hmm. is like the thing. Like
right.
people go to the chamber, they have networking events, information that businesses need. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a mainstay in like any business community.
Like a hub.
Like that's the way I thought about it. Well, apparently, 17 chambers of commerce have shuttered since 2024, and hundreds more are quietly bleeding ink. So a new national analysis revealed that the chamber's revenue in general are lagging inflation by more than 6% since around 2019. So this is kind of interesting. And one of the reasons that this analysis cited was the internet. That the original value proposition of chambers, like this is before people could Google things or search
right.
up things, where people use chambers to figure out which vendors were reputable, how to build networks, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so you needed to go in person to meet people mm-hmm. to further your business. Well, when the interwebs happened, that kind of went away. And it sounds like a lot of chambers didn't really adapt.
Oh, you think that's mainly what the issue is for a lot of
because,
these?
Like I said, I mean, a lot of the chambers, people go to network for business purposes
right.
specifically. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can connect with someone virtually, then you don't need to get dressed. Because a lot of times it was like business kind of formal. You get dressed up, drive
right.
down to this breakfast thing.
Right.
Well, now you don't have to do that.
Right.
So, you know, why this matters for us is so you think about here in Houston, we have lots of chambers. So we have, you know, for example, the Greater Houston Partnership, that mm-hmm. is actually a chamber. The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Houston Black Chamber of Commerce, the Women's Chamber of Commerce. So we have a lot. Mm-hmm. And you start to think, okay, does there come a point where those chambers either have to get really creative about their value proposition mm-hmm. or run the risk of being like these other ones that have kind of fallen by the wayside?
I would hope, and it kind of comes back around, because I feel like as beneficial as the internet has been mm-hmm. for us in a lot of ways, especially connecting people that are so far away a
yes.
lot of times, we do still need that human connection and still need to be in front of people. Yeah. And having something like the Houston Chamber, whatever chamber it is, having something present.
What I think is going to probably end up happening is some consolidation, because I do feel like there are lots. I mean, like I said, I just named a few, and I think there are even more than mm-hmm. what I just named. So I think what we might see is that some of these chambers may start to consolidate.
Mm-hmm.
And programming. I still think no matter what, people want programming that provides some information,
right.
ideas, hearing from speakers. People still like that. And so I think that might be where we see the shift starting to happen a little bit, but we'll see. I don't know. So next business story, you were really keen to talk about this.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble is back, baby. Mm. So what are we thinking, Magical?
Well, I mean,
why were you so excited?
Well, I'm maybe not excited, but very, very frustrated with this, with the CEO as of late, when he made these comments about AI books being now available or going to be available in their stores.
I don't even know what that means.
The AI.
Like, yeah, I guess what he's trying to say is that, you know, books that have not been written by a human, but no. like literally have
like
just been
generated.
Generated in its entirety. But what's interesting is I had this conversation with someone at an art gallery just over the weekend about, I believe, when you create something, whether it's a book, written word, or visual art, or you know, a song, music, the soul of the person is in that. I really do. And I believe that that's what makes some art really good and people love it. And you're like, that's not even that complicated, but it's because it's energy. So I have a, my hypothesis is, yeah, you can have an AI generated book, but is it going to ever be as catchy as, you know, these books that are written by people that literally their energy, their soul is in it? I think the answer is no.
I think the answer is no. It's just, it's concerning because how many of these AI generated books are moving in on indie authors and indie artists and things. Cause you know, we mentioned about Comicpalooza earlier. That was a topic of conversation
up
with a couple of people. Cause it's affecting like whether it's podcasts, books, art, AI generated stuff, as we say, AI slop is, is everywhere. And it's really hurting a lot of creatives because I was reading about podcasts. There is a company that is generating 80 to 100 episodes of just whatever podcast daily.
So what
they're
so what
flooding the market with AI slop type.
So is this an AI podcast right now? It is not. Should we cuss?
Thankfully.
Should we say a cuss word? That's how we know it's not.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, oh, you're going to let me out. But you, that's interesting because, again, I just know. I mean, I know that this is, for example, you can go to a concert. Not that you cry at concerts, but you could. And it'd be
okay
with me.
I get
emotional. And hear someone sing and like you, it literally brings you to tears or see or hear someone speak or see a piece of art and you're just like mesmerized by it. And you just sit, you know, stand there and stare at it. I've never seen a generated piece of anything that I just like feel is so beautiful. I just, I mean,
100%.
You don't, it's, it evokes a different type of feeling. 100%.
I agree with that. My concern is the executives at companies that are just banking on, just make it. You know what I mean? And cutting out the middleman and like, we just need a book. Just generate it.
Just generate a book.
You know what I mean?
But so, do you think that the consumer will start to push back and start to say, you know what, we don't want, we want something made by a human.
That's my hope.
I think so.
I have the optimistic hope of that, but then I also have people that don't realize how many times that they're sharing AI art or AI books.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of people that just don't realize it. And that's why we need very clear labeling as this is AI generated because it is, again, it's hurting us in so many ways, whether it's environmental or with actual just hurting indie authors and artists and podcasters.
So I was at a video production with the client and my main video guy, shout out to Victor, who I've known, we worked at an agency literally 20 years ago.
Good job, Victor.
And so we talked about this because Victor was sharing a story about another client where they generated something and he does a lot of motion graphics and they like tried to do something on their own and then they sent it to him. They're like, help. Because, and so basically what he explained to them is, okay, you can generate something, but it's not going to be what you want because you, it, even to do it, to get it close to what you want, you'd have to prompt so well.
Yes.
And most people don't know how to do that. And then if you want me to edit the thing, it's going to cost you more for me to do that than for me to just do it from the beginning because I actually know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
So that's, so it was interesting because that's what we got into this long conversation about was just this idea of a tool is a tool. Like, I mean, this is like the internet or anything else. We, we're using laptops. I'm all about a tool.
Yeah.
Used properly 100%. And appropriately. And not ever, I just think some things you can't replace just because it's generated. It's not going to give the same feeling. It's just a fact.
There's the, one of the key aspects of just art or creativity is the process of it.
Yeah.
You know, we enjoy whether it is creating that podcast or it is creating that piece of art or writing that story that comes out of your imagination.
Yes.
That's the thing that gets us excited. That's why I go to Comicpalooza and have all these experiences with folks. And to see all these different ones that are, oh yeah, it's going to take your this or that. It's like, no, it's soulless.
And it's soulless.
And art
That's it.
Has a soul to it. There's much more to art, whether it, whatever medium you're using. So I just, I hope that we can folks vote with their wallet sort of thing and support folks that are out there, and support your local artists and even indie bookstores.
Well, yeah, this is why we love Blue Willow. Shout out to Blue Willow, Murder by the Book, like all of these places, because to your point, I mean, I just think that there is, yeah, we'll see. I have a feeling that just like, do you remember Y2K and everyone thought the world was going to end, and here we are in Y226?
Yeah.
I just think people are.
I hope it's like a bigger hype than it is, but I just, you know, I don't know with executives nowadays sometimes.
Well, here's the thing. Do you remember, just in, what was this, maybe last year, a year and a half ago, when all of the artists in LA went on strike? And because they were feeling, and you know what happened? Those executives like, never mind, we're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Think it's because the executives make up a small percentage of the entire ecosystem. And so, again, I think it's consumers, but I also think it's artists saying, no, we're not, no, we're going to push back. Because it's not sophisticated enough to replace everybody.
No, it's, we're not there, and not even close to being that at that point. And then I do want to go back to what you said about AI being a tool. When you're using it as a tool, like I use, there's a web software that's AI, not generated, but it helps me enabled. It helps me balance audio quicker. Like that, like using it as a tool, it's when you get to the AI generation stuff.
When you're like, I'm going to make a song.
Yeah.
And just, you just come up with the song, AI. And yeah. It's like a knockoff of somebody else.
Somebody
else. Copyright infringement.
It's replicating. It's not duplicating still. So.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Okay, so and then a more positive business story. So Toyota is apparently betting big on Texas at, you know, to the note of $2 billion. So Toyota is doubling down in San Antonio in particular. The Japanese automaker has filed paperwork with the Texas comptroller outlining plans to build an additional $2 billion assembly plant in its existing Southside campus, which is in San Antonio. You know what it's going to create? 2,000 jobs.
Perfect.
Not 2,000 AI people.
That's good. I need more 2,000 regular people.
We need regular people. And so, yeah, this is, you know, anytime we hear something about business, and this happens more and more, businesses saying, we're coming to Texas. One, it's easy to do business here. We have lots of space. And job creation. I think that's why we continue to see people move into the state in general, is because of things like this. So these jobs are going to start with an average salary of $123,000.
That's great.
Yeah. And this is all a part of this larger manufacturing story that Toyota has been talking about and building over time. And this is, I just think this is great. I think Toyota's philosophy of build where we sell is that this is sort of their response to like offshore everything. They don't do that. And so I feel like even doing things like this, they're going to drive up their share price.
People
like,
oh,
no,
yeah.
I'm going to buy a Toyota.
Yeah. You know what I drive?
A Toyota.
Toyota.
You know what I want?
What do you want?
Old school Toyota Land Cruiser, like the original one. Like the boxy one. Not curvy one. You know what I'm talking about? The, with the thin steering wheel. I don't know why.
What, yeah. What?
I have this. I don't know, magical. And this is not AI generated. This is like my imagination.
This is just from your brain.
I have this thing. It's like, did I dream this? Am I like nostalgic for some movie? But I have this vision of me in this old school Toyota driving across the country.
Hitting the highway.
Yeah, I don't even know why. I'm like, where did this even come from?
This is a very specific.
Right?
Very specific, so specific image.
And it's going to be like a tan color. Isn't this wild?
It is wild.
I don't even know where this came from.
You know what? Maybe we should talk about it more in the break.
Yeah, okay.
You know what?
Okay, you know what? See, this is a very gracious way. See, if you were lovely, then we would even take a break.
No.
20 minutes later and you'd be over there giving us a finger.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll take a break.
Because I'm only human after all. And you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
This is Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, co-host, executive producer of Culture Club HTX. here with my fill-in co-host, the mystical, magical, marvel. No, mystical, marvelous, magical.
All the M's. All the M's.
Filling in for Coach Nelson today. And we're in our fashion, fitness, wellness segment. So, Magical, this has to be your favorite segment then, right?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite segment.
Because you love fashion, fitness, wellness.
As you can tell, very fashionable, very fit, all the things.
So, tell me, at Comic Palooza.
Yes.
Is there a dress code? Since we're in fashion, fitness.
Oh, no.
No dress code?
No, there's not much of a dress code. There's
just show up?
Yeah, some people just show up.
In pajamas and stuff?
Not pajamas, but there's some really cool like cosplay and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. And then there's like, there's people that just show up and just because they want
to
do.
This means there are pictures that I'll need to see once we're not 100%. Recording. But we are joined today by a guest I'm so excited to have on the show, Katia Moreno, who is the founder and owner of Katia's European Spa in the Rice Village, which is just at the corner of Rice and... What's your cross street?
Morningside and University.
Yes, Boulevard. Morningside and University by the Coco's Creperie place.
Yes, Coco yes. Crepes.
Yes, perfect. So Katia is originally from the Ukraine, and she has brought more than two decades of European skincare expertise with her when she immigrated to the United States in 2008. After rebuilding her career from the ground up in Houston, she opened her luxury wellness spa in 2022. So congratulations on four years old now. This is awesome. They specialize in advanced European facial and body treatments. And she is known for her signature buccal face massage, which I got maybe a month ago, which was fantastic, which is a natural, non-invasive technique designed to lift, sculpt, and relax the facial muscles, which usually... I think our face muscles, like you taught me when you were walking me through the treatment, we don't give them that much attention. But here lately, people have started to use buccal as a replacement to Botox and fillers and things like that.
That's right.
So today, Katia continues to help clients prioritize skincare, wellness, and aging naturally and with confidence. So welcome, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here. Okay, so interview questions. Here we go. So you came to Houston from the Ukraine with years of experience, but you said you built your career from scratch here. So what was that season of life like for you coming with all this experience, but experience in the Ukraine to Houston and feeling like you were starting over? Talk us through that.
Well, I always knew that whenever I go, I will still do my favorite thing, which is my passion. I love what I do. It's my job. It's my hobby.
Yes.
It's just my everything. And I also knew that there are so many things that people in America don't know. Because, you know, Europe is a little bit ahead with skincare.
Yes.
And it took me a little bit until I found a good school, which is also sort of European-based.
Ah, okay.
One of your directors was from Switzerland, I believe, or from Sweden. And they had a little closer approach to what we studied. But our studies are much deeper than people study aesthetics here. So I knew that whenever I will start, it's still going to be very beneficial for everybody.
So one of the things that's different about European skincare is that you focus more on prevention and technique and long-term healthy skin and those benefits. So in your opinion, now that you have establish your salon and you think about the differences, and I'm sure conversations you have with clients, what would you say is like the most fundamental difference between the European approach and the American approach to beauty and skincare?
So in our countries, parents start to bring their daughters or even sons in an earlier age.
Oh, really?
I would say once we started to develop those hormonal, you know,
like puberty, basically.
Yes, even before. So because very often kids don't listen what parents would say, and they would listen professionals.
Yes, yes.
So moms would always want us to describe to kids how important skincare is, how important it is to rightly cleanse your skin, put in right products, and like basic hygiene.
Yes.
And this is how we start. So basically when we grow, we already know how we're supposed to treat our skin, at least some basic stuff. And here... I have so many clients who never had facials in their lives, and they start, like, I would say, after, even later.
Huh.
And a lot of them think that they would come, they would get the treatment, and it would be like a miracle.
Yes.
And
very American. Say, that like, sounds on brand.
Unfortunately, this is a long journey. You know, how you treat your skin, this is what you will get later. And our people, and we focus a lot about massages.
Yes.
We love face massages. First of all, it's very relaxing. Mm-hmm. And second of all, we know that it's, you know, everything adjusts to the face muscle, which is everything to, you know, beauty.
So let's talk about that, about the buccal massage. So that's one of your signature services. And I think people are fascinated about it. I know I had people reach out to me after I posted that I got one from you. And just I thought it was fantastic. And then we were at Lux Yoga, and you were also, or some folks from your team were doing some like kind of quick buccal techniques. So talk to us in like the most basic terms. What is it, do you think, about buccal that has people really interested in it now? And especially people are turning to it instead of the fillers and the Botox. Like, what do you think is driving that trend?
Well, it's a very unique treatment which can address a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a direct contact through mucous membrane to the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, technique is like you have to grab the muscle and stretch it. Because with our lifestyle and that way how we sleep, chew, posture, everything is affecting it. So in our case, we have to relax that muscle and make it as long as possible. Basically, bring it to the previous use lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And with life, this muscle gets short and gets stressed and it pulls the skin because our skin attached to the muscle on the face. And we just relax in it and we include in lymphatic massage with it. We include in lifting massage with it. Also myofascia, because fascia is also very important. Whenever it's tight, you just don't look right. And
So tell me, so one of the things that I noticed, and you said this, you're like, do you feel like you have more space in your mouth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, you talked about stress and, you know, you think the average American person and woman, but also men, you know, clenching your jaw, holding your face very tightly. And so you don't realize it does. It makes it tighter and so therefore smaller, if that makes sense. And so one of the first things you said was like, well, how do you feel? And you're like, do you feel like you have... And I was like, you know what? I do.
Yeah.
So talk to me about, like, I know you treat TMJ, for example, with buccal. So talk to me more about like that idea of the space and why that's important.
Well, again, because of stressed muscle, everything feels tight.
Mm-hmm.
And since all our muscles connected, with buccal, it's a good workout for your face. And
yes.
At the same time, it's a deep tissue. So you get two things at once.
Right, right.
In Europe, we call it non-surgical facelift because for real, we also affect in the bone structure. And another thing is that when we age, our bones, they are drying up.
Yes.
And we need to provide more circulation there, more nutrients, more oxygen.
Yes.
And also with the right pressure, whenever we work during the buccal massage, we help to open up those bones slightly. Even 1 millimeter
is
going to make a big difference. Yeah, because, again, this massage is just absolutely, absolutely incredible.
Yes. So tell me, so for example, if someone's listening, they're like, OMG, I need to go get a buccal massage like today. How many treatments do you, I mean, I felt the difference immediately, but as far as like this non-surgical, this lifting and some of the other benefits, what do you recommend for like a course of treatment? Like how many treatments for before people really start to feel a difference in like their lifestyle and just the way their face feels and looks?
So everyone is different. Everybody comes with different issues. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you don't really have much of problems like TMJ or you don't ground teeth, you came just for that fresher look, like fresher and more lift look, you can do it once in a while. Like, let's say, for the course, you can do it once every 2 weeks until you will see that, oh, I'm very happy with my skin. I'm happy with the way how I look, how I feel. I don't feel any tension. I don't feel any tightness. So everything, I feel good. People who have TMJ, here is harder. We recommend course of 10, coming once a week because muscles have memory.
Yes.
And when they already get used to be super tight, mm-hmm. they're going to go back together, even though that you're going to feel very huge difference.
Yes.
After even first time. But the thing is, it's not going to last because muscle's going to go back.
Right. So you have to continue.
We have to, yes.
Just like working out your body. Like you said, it's a workout for your face.
Exactly. Yeah. So we usually say, let's say, do it 10 times. First 5 times are crucial. You have to come once a week. Mm-hmm. And then we can slightly, you know, stretch it maybe every 2 weeks. And then just maintenance. Because of people's lifestyle, because of people's stress and the habit of keeping
clinching,
keeping stress on the neck, shoulders, mm-hmm. you know, because it's all connected and it's all going to be affected. You should still come once in a while for maintenance.
So what if someone has already, so we talked about how, like, for example, buccal, and I know you do some other treatments, so we'll talk about that in a second. But say someone says, well, I've already had fillers, I've already had other things. Will I still see the benefit of a buccal massage?
Fillers, you mean like in the jawline?
Or just, yeah, fillers, Botox, if they've already done that before in the past, like maybe not, you know, last week.
Yeah, recently we don't recommend to come right after you got injection. Usually we recommend to wait at least, you know, at least minimum like 3 weeks.
Yes.
But as longer as better. A lot of people even come when they're not happy with fillers or Botox.
Yes.
Because we're doing like, this massage is pretty intense and they say like, I want to dissolve it, but I don't want to put any more chemicals in my system. So we do,
can help them.
We can help it out to slowly dissolve it. Yeah.
So it was just that. It's just like, I think sometimes people think, oh, well, if this is an alternative, if I've already had some of these other injections,
yes.
I can't come, but that's not true is the point. Like, you can come after you wait the appropriate amount of time.
Yeah, so it can be substitute for Botox and fillers. And I'm very proud of it that a lot of our clients, they stopped.
Yeah.
Like, after they started to come get regular facials or face massages.
Yeah.
With us, they stopped getting fillers or Botox. I'm very proud about it.
Yes.
And, I can tell you that it would be a great substitution. Plus, it's a non-surgical facelift.
Correct.
You know, you don't have to go under the knife
and be out, you know,
age gracefully and beautifully.
Right. So then tell me, what else do you provide? So you provide, buccal is your main thing. That's like your signature service. But you also provide, you do lashes, you do other body massage,
lymphatic. We do different type of facials.
Yes.
And, you know, for each skin concern, we can find a great facial. And we do incredible lymphatic face massages. We do lymphatic body massages. And unfortunately, here in States, lymphatic massage is kind of, you know, not too many people know about benefits and don't know about how great it is for your system. So now slowly, like let's say in Ukraine, it's popular. It's been popular for mm-hmm. so long.
Mm-hmm.
And here people are just like, oh, I never had lymphatic. I never even really understood the whole system of lymphatic. And like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you're educating people on that too.
Yeah, so we do several type of lymphatic body massages, and it's also our signatures because I hate to say it, but a lot of American technicians don't know how to perform lymphatic body massage,
right,
massage correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we specialize. We do, body waxing, I don't know.
Yeah, that is.
Lashes, brows.
So, I mean, basically, from a massage, whether it's your face or your body, you all are full service. This idea of the non-surgical facelift, you do that. And then also some, like, just beauty, like lashes and brows. So how do people find out more about the salon? Like, where do they go? Instagram? So what's your handle?
I mean, it seems like from everywhere. Lots of people find us on Google, word of mouth,
mm-hmm.
Instagram also. Sometimes we do advertising, you mm-hmm. know, because you still have to, even
sure.
though that we are pretty busy, we still have to keep running.
Yes.
And
so Katia's European Spa on all the things, whether that's Instagram, Google, your website.
Website, yeah. We were also on several magazines. People found us through magazines. We were on a Great Day Houston.
Oh, yes. I think I saw that. Deborah Duncan.
It was Deborah Duncan, that's yes. right. Yeah, so we were invited in several places, which I'm also so proud of.
You should be. So once again, it's KatiaEuropeanSpa.com.
Yes.
That's the website. Also, same handles on Instagram. And It's summer. Summer is here, folks. You need to go get yourself together.
Yeah. So for example, during summer, very popular body treatments. You know, because people gonna wear lots of swimming suits, and yes. they want to. Even though that it's always summer here,
yes.
to compare with Europe, so it's always warm. But during summer or before summer, people like to prepare to get rid of excessive fluids from yes. their bodies, to get rid of appearance of cellulite, and just
you can
to
do
look.
That.
We can do all of that. Yeah, we do different intensity, like we do Madeira therapy. Mm-hmm. It's a wooden tools. That one is pretty intense, but I like intense myself. Mm-hmm. So like simple massages
sure.
wouldn't work on me.
Sure.
And it's just my body. So Madeira therapy works great on me. Lymphosculpt works great on me. Now we've been doing that Brazilian lymphatic minimum half a year. We were busy.
Yes.
We didn't really talk about it too much, but our Brazilian lymphatic is also incredible, which we focus about 20 minutes on the stomach, mm-hmm. which helps a lot with
digestive
and fluid also, because we have lots of lymphatic nodes,
yes.
you know, all over the body. But another thing is that in America, people don't focus on their stomachs during massages. In our country, stomach is included to pretty much every massage, because we know how important it is to turn on the lymph.
Yes. Well, good. Well, thank you so much. This has been so informative. So again, Katia's European Spa is where you can go find all the things on Instagram. And then obviously you'll be able to link from our page. This has been so fun. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Inviting me,
of course.
And it's very exciting.
I see. We'll take a break. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back.
Hi.
I'm Siobhana Robert-Schreiber, the executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX. Also, the parliamentarian on a break today, as well as the eighth wonder of the world. And we're in our community segment. I got Magical Mystical here.
Hello, that's me.
So, first community story. So, first of all, there are names that when I hear them, I don't associate with great decision making or wellness.
That's a good way to put it. That's a very good way to put it.
There's some names that when I hear them, I'm like, So, why is this important? Because there is a new wellness clinic called mm-hmm. Ways to Well, which is an Austin-based longevity and wellness clinic that has this devoted celebrity following, and it just opened up its first Houston location like last week. So this whole idea is they have a personalized approach to preventative health, and they're coming to Houston. So who are these? Well, let's talk about what they offer.
Yeah, what exactly, like if I'm going to this place,
Ways to Well,
uh-huh. what am I getting?
You're gonna get some ways to get well. So vitamin IV drips,
uh-huh.
stem cell therapy by appointment only, like
okay.
isn't everything about, but whatever. And they also have some plans to expand to things like biomarker testing, biannual blood tests, personalized supplements, prescription, peptide programs, etc. Now, who are the folks there?
Yeah. Who's a fan of this?
Well,
style.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, he's a trustworthy person.
Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
Jelly Roll.
There's a good song.
Russell Crowe.
I liked him in that one movie.
And I would say probably, I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this is kind of funny. RFK Jr. Magical Silent.
I'm going to avoid doing the Lisa thing.
Oh, going off the rails.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
going off the rails. You know what I mean?
So, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, what we're known for in Houston is actual healthcare.
Yeah.
Like we have the world's largest medical center, we're renowned physicians and services and all of that. So it's interesting because I almost feel like things, I've never been the way, so I don't know anything about it, but I almost feel like this is someone's attempt to capitalize on a actual deserved reputation of a city that is focused on health and wellness with some fooleyag, to use a technical term.
Yeah, because, you know.
I'm just like, what?
I feel like the IV, I know, I guess that's still a thing, the IV drips. I know they were a few years ago, they were like the rage in the wellness community.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they actually did.
Here's the thing. I'm an honest human, so I got an IV drip one time. I think it was once. And there's like, oh, it's B12, and like you're gonna feel. I'm like, yeah, I just feel fine. I feel because I go to bed at night, and I like don't abuse my body. Like,
yeah.
There was no like, ooh, I was expecting that.
Because how much of it is the what's the thing? The
psychosomatic.
Yeah, like the you know
mind.
The glucose. Yeah, like it's a fake tablet thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
placebo.
Placebo. That's
well. Here's the thing. I mean, I think they put the stuff in there, but it just wasn't it. It's not enough. It's not like taking a triple espresso where you're going to feel something.
You're
going to be like, duh, 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 duh. Yeah. It wasn't like that. And I mean, that's the way it was sort of characterized is that you're going to get this IV drip and then all of a sudden you're going to be, The other thing, and this story isn't talking about it, but this is a thing where a lot of the wellness, hyper-focus on wellness actually makes people more neurotic and more anxious and less connected to real people in real life, actually. As a matter of fact, this is a funny thing. I won't say this friend's name, but I had lunch with a friend a couple weeks ago, and I had just read this story that was like, we should all start smoking again. Because you know what happens when you smoke? You talk to people. You go outside. You stand in community. Seriously. So the point was this. Hear me out, man.
Okay.
The article was hilarious. The point was this. While it was a vice, while it is a vice, smoking and excessive drinking, sure. Or damn it, just going to a bar. People are healthier, but lonelier and sadder. So it's like, maybe you should start smoking because, maybe you live a few years less. But at least these years are enjoyable.
At least you're happy.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. But, I mean, if you think about it, let's just like, I'm like, you know, that actually makes a lot of sense. And so this friend and I were like cracking up because then she sent me something that was like some reel that she found somewhere. And this woman was like, I'm smoking again. Because you know what? You're well, but you're sad.
Yeah. That's I feel like you're trying to put something in the hole in your heart kind of thing. You know what I mean? Just trying to numb things.
Yeah. So it was just interesting because I do think I do feel like we've gotten well off the farm as it relates to like, I broke up with my Oura Ring for this reason. I would go to bed, I would feel good when I wake up, and then my HRV score or whatever. So I'm like, this is, you know what?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I was getting neurotic about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take it off. This is an inanimate object.
Yeah.
I'm just going to not wear it. If I feel good, we're going to roll with that. You know what
right.
I mean? Versus some reading.
Right.
A ring or an app.
It just reminds me of like, I did a cold therapy one time.
Yeah.
Like a cryo thing because of my knee.
Yeah.
And I just remember being in this tank thing and being, you know,
freezing.
Just cold and like standing around and like, how do you feel?
You needed a cigarette. People used to stand out in the cold
you know
and
what?
Smoke a cigarette.
That's true. I should have had a pack of cigs.
You've had a pack of cigarettes, you feel better. A little nicotine in there. You feel
like,
better.
Because
here's the other thing. It wasn't the tobacco. This is not an endorsement for a smoker. So let me be clear. But it wasn't the actual just tobacco. It was all the crap in the filter. That's what got people sideways.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting because this is just another example. I think this wellness situation of like, okay, people, there is a point where you go too far.
Yeah.
And when they say celebrity and you say Aaron Rodgers and RFK Jr.,
when one of your celebs sits in the dark for 8 days or whatever, nah.
Yeah, we're out. Okay, so we can't end community on that note. So what else is happening in the community? So Galveston nonprofit just saved 204 acres of coastline. So that's
good. Hey, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So a local conservation nonprofit just pulled off a $16.4 million land acquisition that will protect over 200 acres of coastal wetlands from ever being built on. I actually do think this is important.
Very.
So this is one of the, it's going to be a nature preserve here on the Gulf Coast. So Artist Boat is the name of the nonprofit. They were formed in 2003. And yeah, so they have a coalition including Texas Parks and Wildlife, NOAA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Cynthia and George Mitchell Found. Oh, those are the Pavilion people. Mm-hmm. And plus more than 3,000 individual donors. So I think this is great. I really do think these are the types of things, you know, what promotes wellness, getting outside.
Yeah, it does.
Protected wetlands.
Yeah, looking at some animals and some nature.
And getting some fresh air while you're mm-hmm. smoking your cigarettes. While you're walking around Galveston.
Get some vitamin D and some nicotine.
Nicotine,
you know, there you go.
And vitamin D and some beer. Walking around Galveston smoking cigarettes. All right, Magical, we've had so much fun today.
We have.
And we must end our show.
Oh, this is it?
This is it. Comes to the end of the road.
Wow.
A la Boyz II Men. Do you know what we say?
We want you to stay focused.
Mm-mm.
No, stay fit.
Mm-mm. No. Stay bold.
Stay bold. That's it. Stay bold.
Smoking your cigarettes. Stay elegant.
Stay fit.
Stay focused.
And stay fabulous.
I wanted you to say stay fabulous. It's perfect. All right. And with that, we will see you next week.
Bye.
No, you're supposed to say bye.
Oh, bye. And girls, they wanna have fun.
Love listening to Siobhana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.